One of the first things that I learned when I began to study neurolinguistic programming was that for human beings to produce results, they had to take certain actions mentally and physically, as we talked about earlier. But one of the things that I found that was most exciting to me was that if I discovered what another person did exactly and duplicated that exactly, I could produce similar results in short periods of time. Now, we've already talked about this. We've talked about duplicating a person's belief system. And we also talked about the idea of duplicating how they represent things to themselves and how they use their body. But there is another key element, and that key element is syntax. This is what strategy is all about. In order to produce any result in our lives, we need to organize the way we think and the way we behave to produce a result. That's all really a strategy is, a specific way of using our resources to produce a specific result. We have strategies for all kinds of things in life. In order to produce any result, we have to organize our resources in a certain way. For example, in order to feel happy, we have a strategy for that. In order to be happy, we have to picture things in a certain way. We have to say things to ourselves and use our bodies in certain fashions in order to produce that result. The difference in the quality of life that people experience has more to do with the way they organize their resources than what their capabilities are. In fact, if you look at most people in life, you'll find that they have the resources to make their life exactly as they want it, but they don't have a strategy for producing the results that they really do want in their lives. For example, it's a known fact that less than 3% of the nation ends up financially independent. 97% by the age of 65 is either dead broke or dead. Does that mean that in America, men and women do not have the capital resources to become financially independent? No, that's not the truth. In the average man or woman's working lifetime, they'll earn over $1 million. The challenge is most men and women in America spend more than they earn. Most men and women do not have an effective strategy for using their income as capital in order to create assets. But there are all kinds of strategies. There are strategies for happiness, for depression. In order to get depressed, a person has to picture things certain ways, say things certain ways, use their body in certain ways, just as they do for happiness. There are strategies that cause us to feel totally loved, totally attracted, totally motivated. Strategies are powerful because once we discover our strategy for producing a result, then we can produce it over and over and over again. Also, we can model the strategies of other people. As we've said over and over again, if you find someone who's successful, find out what they do, how they do it, and you can produce similar results. I think a good metaphor for strategies is a lot like baking cakes. What if I came to you one day and said, hey, I know a man who makes the greatest chocolate cake on the planet. He spent 22 years of his life perfecting it. Do you think you can make a cake like this? Could you? Of course you could, as long as you had that man's recipe. I believe that strategies are much like recipes. In fact, the elements are quite similar. In order to duplicate that man's cake, he'd have to give you the recipe, and in the recipe, you'd learn several things. One, the ingredients. If you don't have the right ingredients, you'll never bake the cake effectively. So in the recipe, you find out what the ingredients are. You do the same thing in discovering a human being's strategy. For example, if I want to find out how you motivate yourself, I'd want to know what ingredients you use. The ingredients of human experience are our five senses. I'd want to know how are you using your five senses. Those are the ingredients, those are the resources, to create a result called motivation. Now, if all you know is the ingredients that are necessary, can you bake the same quality of cake? Of course not. The second thing you need to know are the amounts that are used. So the amounts in human strategy are the submodalities, or the more precise descriptions about what it is you're picturing or saying to yourself or feeling inside. If, for example, in order to get motivated, you make pictures in your mind, I'd want to find out, are those pictures large? Are they small? Are they bright? Are they focused? Are they close? Are they far away? I'd want to get as much detail as possible about the amount of the ingredients you're using. If you know the right ingredients, but you put in three times more than is necessary, you're not going to get the same quality of cake. What if the recipe tells you the ingredients and the amounts? Do you now have enough information to produce the same quality of cake? No, you need one more element, and that is you need to know the order and sequence in which these elements are put together. What would happen if you put the first ingredient in at the end of the cake versus in the beginning? You're not going to produce the same result. The same thing is true with human beings. You've got to know the ingredients. How did they use their five senses? You have to know what specifically they used. How big, bright were the pictures? What did they say to themselves? How did they feel inside? And you also have to know the order and sequence. See, whether I say to you the dog bit Johnny or Johnny bit the dog, There's not a lot of difference there. I didn't add or subtract words. I simply changed the syntax, the order and sequence. But by changing that order and sequence, I changed the meaning drastically. There's a big difference, especially if you're Johnny. The point here is simple. In order to discover someone's strategy, we have to know what ingredients they used, meaning what portions of their five senses did they use. We need to know more detail about what senses they used, and we have to know the order and sequence in which they produced the result. I've got a question for you. What would happen if you went to the baker and said, I'd like your recipe, and he said, I don't have one. I just do a pinch of this and a dash of that, and it all comes together. Could you still duplicate the quality of cake that he generates? Of course you can. You can still discover his strategy, but you have to go through several additional steps. And those additional steps are the same steps you go through in order to find out your own strategy for motivating yourself, or finding someone else's strategy for motivating themselves, or for causing themselves to feel attracted, or for causing them to make a decision, or anything else. And here are the steps. The first step is you must put the person back in the state they were in when they ran their strategy. That is, you've got to get them associated to that experience. For example, if you went back to the cook who was creating the cake, you'd want to put that cook in the kitchen. You'd want to say, okay, you're not sure how you do it, go ahead, build a cake. So all of a sudden he'd say, okay, well the first thing I do is, and he'd reach for a handful of something, and just before he threw it in the bowl, you'd want to grab his hand and say, stop, let me measure that. You'd measure it and you'd write it down. So now you know the first element he used, you know how much of it he used, and you already are beginning to discover the order in which he uses these things. Then he'd probably get knocked out of state for a moment and say, well, I don't know what I was doing. You say, well, you just did this. You put a bunch of this in. And then he'd go, oh, I remember. The next thing I do is, and he'd take a pinch of something else. And you go, stop. You'd grab it and you'd measure what he's putting in. And you'd write that down. So you'd now know what he did second. And you know how much of it he did. And you would continue doing this until he completed the process of baking the cake. At the end, you'd have a written record of exactly what he did and what order he did it to produce that perfect chocolate cake. The same thing is true with human beings. If you want to find out what causes someone to be motivated, you say to them simply, can you remember a time in your life when you felt totally motivated to do something? They may say, yeah. The problem with just saying yeah is you can tell that they're not in the kitchen, meaning they're not back in that experience. And you don't want to start asking them questions that they intellectualize about. You want to have them experience it so that you know the information you're getting is accurate. See, if you ask the cook, well, tell me, what do you do first? What do you do second? How much do you think that is? And he intellectualized. You might get the wrong amounts. But if you got him in the kitchen, you can measure it as it's happening. The same thing is true with any other kind of strategy. So you'd ask that person, can you remember a time in your life when you felt totally motivated to do something? They say, yeah. And say, can you step back in that experience and remember a specific time and remember how you felt? And they go, yes, I do. As they go back in that state and feel it, then all you have to do is the second key, which is find out what they did and what order they did it in. So you'd ask them, what was the very first thing that caused you to be totally whatever? It would be motivated or attractive or decisive. What was the very first thing that caused you to be, for example, totally motivated? Was it something you saw? Was it something you heard? Or was it the touch of something or someone? What was the very first thing that caused you to be motivated? Now, you notice you gave them all three of the major elements, visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. After the person tells you, maybe the person says it was something he saw. So then you'd say, well, after you saw that, remember what you saw? So you keep them associated, just like keeping the cook in the kitchen. Remember what you saw? Yes. What was the very next thing that caused you to be totally motivated? Did you picture something in your mind? Did you say something to yourself? Or did you have a certain feeling or emotion inside? What was the very next thing? And let's say that at this point he said something to himself. Now there's an interesting element to note here. Most strategies start with an external stimulus, meaning something happens in the world. A stimulus happens and then you have a response. We live in a stimulus response world. So there's an external stimulus and then an internal response. So notice when I ask these questions, I again ask pictures, sounds, and feelings, but I ask about internal examples, meaning did he picture something as mine? Did he say something to himself? Do you have a certain feeling or an emotion? Once he tells me that, then I ask, after you saw that thing in the world and said that to yourself, what was the very next thing that caused you to be totally motivated? And I continue to do this until he says he was motivated. Let's say, for example, in this case, the man said he saw something, and then he said something to himself, and that gave him a certain feeling of motivation inside. That would be a strategy which we would call a VAK strategy, the abbreviation V for visual, A for auditory, K for kinesthetic or feeling. Now, once we know this information, we need to know a little bit more about it. So we go back and we do the third key. We put him in state. The second key was we discovered what he did and what order he did it in. The third key is we need to find out the details or the submodalities of his strategy. So we go back in the third case and we ask him, what was it about what you saw that caused you to be motivated? Was it the size of what you saw? Was it the brightness? Was it the movement? Was it look on someone's face? And he may tell you, well, it was the size of it. It was a big project and that really began to motivate me. You say, great. What was it about what you heard or what you said to yourself that really caused you to be motivated? Was it the tone of your voice when you said it to yourself? Was it what you said? He said, it was the tone of my voice and what I said. What did you say? I said to myself, I can do this. Well, what was it about the feeling that caused you to be motivated? Was it a pushing feeling, a pulling feeling, a driving feeling? He said, a driving feeling. Once you know this information, you now have literally the combination to the vault of emotion called motivation in this man. If you do this for yourself, you'll discover your own strategy for creating motivation. What can we do with it now? Well, let's say we want to motivate this man to do something. If we try to motivate him by telling him about it first, rather than showing him, then we're not going to be very effective. His vault of motivation only opens with a certain combination. See, if you try and open a vault with the right numbers and the wrong order and sequence, it isn't going to happen. Similarly, if you're trying to use a computer and you have the right code, but you type it in the wrong order, you're not going to get on the screen what you want. So this is what happens often in life. We try to talk to people or persuade people or motivate people, and we use our strategy or our syntax, and it's quite different. We all have our own syntax. If in communicating with other people, we communicate in the syntax or the strategy that they use to produce emotions, then we'll produce those emotions for them consistently. So if I wanted to motivate this man, I would first show him something and emphasize the largeness of the project. Then I would say, and as you see this, I bet you're saying to yourself that you can do this. And that would immediately create a feeling inside of him. It's like push-button emotion. Love strategies. Can we still elicit love strategies the same way as any other strategy? Yes. We can put a person in what?
State.
Once they're there, we can say, what was the very first thing that caused you to feel totally what?
Love.
We can run right through it. So I want you to know you can do love just like any other strategy. However, I want you to also know that there's a shortcut to this state called love. Every one of you has a specific stimuli, one specific submodality stimuli that'll make you feel totally loved. It's embedded in every one of us, and we all have a different one. It's unique to each and every individual. Now, here's what I mean. If you look in the animal kingdom, you discover some really interesting things. That is that animals have certain triggers that just make them do something without having to think about it, and human beings have similar triggers. For example, if you study turkeys, the animal turkeys, not people turkeys, animal turkeys, okay? You study a turkey, what you'll discover is that female turkeys, mother turkeys, are the most mothering animals. I mean, they take incredible care of their young. Now, you wonder, well, what triggers mother turkey to want to mother and take care of its young? What is the trigger? You'd think, well, seeing one of her baby chicks, right? No, that's not what does it. You think, well, maybe the smell of the baby chicks. That'd do it, right? That's not it. Maybe the touch of her baby chicks. No, that doesn't do it either. There's only one stimuli that makes a mother turkey mother its young, and that's the sound that baby chicks make, that cheep, cheep sound. If a baby turkey does not make that cheep, cheep sound, then a mother turkey will either kill it or abandon it. Now, you want to know something really interesting? Want to know how powerful this little trigger is? If you take a stuffed polecat, a polecat is a turkey's like mortal enemy, and you pull it on a string towards a turkey will dive on it and rip it to shreds. If you take a stuffed polecat and you put a little tape recorder in it with a cheep, cheep sound in it, even though they're mortal enemies, guess what the turkey does? Waddles over and starts trying to breastfeed and fondle and mother this polecat, which is its arch enemy. Because the only thing that triggers the mothering response is that sound. In spite of everything else, that overrides everything else and makes it feel like mothering. Now, we all have it. By the way, that's why they call them turkeys. We all have these triggers. I mean, there was a study done where they took a group of people and had Xerox machines by a social psychologist. There was a long line. Somebody walked to the front and said, listen, could I go in front of you? Because I've got a lot of copying done and I'm late. Could I go ahead of you? Well, 87% of the people said, okay, fine. 87, that's kind of nice. That says a lot about human nature. So then you think, well, the reason is because the person was late and they had empathy for the fact that they're late. Doesn't that make sense? But the social psychologists began to say, look, is it really the whole explanation, or is there one word that triggers this automatic response, just like in the turkey, to make people comply with a request? And you know what they found out? The word because does it by itself. Because what they did is they sent a group of people up to the front of the line and had them not give the explanation. Just go up and say, could I please go ahead of you? And out of that, only 23% said yes. 72%, no, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I have to do this. So we got 23% versus the 87, right? Pretty major difference. Now they take a group of people, have them walk to the front and say, could I go ahead of you because I've got to make some copies? And guess what? 86% said yes. All they had to hear was the word because, and their brain went click, word, okay, compliance. It's amazing. There are a whole series of these. There are so many things you do without your awareness. All you know is you believe you're doing them because you want to do them, but you've been triggered. There are all these triggers inside every one of you. Now, how does this relate to love? Well, you have a trigger that'll make you feel loved. You think all these things make you feel loved, or there's a special person that's going to make you feel loved. The truth is, the special person is the person who triggers certain key submodalities in you, and you will feel totally loved by them. Now, we can find out all this information by going through a syntax, or we can do a shortcut. And the shortcut is this. Up until now, the way we've discovered strategy is by getting a person to go into what? So we're still going to get them in a state of love, only instead of discovering a what? Syntax. We don't need a syntax for this. Anybody that I've studied around this country and around the world doesn't need a syntax for love. All they need is one specific representational system stimulated in one specific way. So they either need to be stimulated with a visual external or an auditory external or a kinesthetic external. In other words, some people have to be shown that you love them. You have to show them a certain specific way by looking at them a certain way, or by taking them places, or buying them things. Other people don't need to be shown, they have to be told. And there's a certain way they have to be told, a certain tone of voice, or a certain word that has to be used, okay? Other people have to be touched a certain way, okay? A certain sensitivity or a certain tension to the touch in a certain place. Once you find exactly what that is, you can make that person feel loved each and every single time. It's incredible, okay? So how do we find this out? Well, we put them in state, and then we go through the process of elimination. We say, get them in state, remember the time you feel totally loved, they go into a state of feeling loved, and you say, in order for you to feel those deep feelings of love, is it absolutely necessary, not is it important, is it absolutely necessary that that person show you that they love you by buying you things, taking you places, looking you a certain way? Is that absolutely necessary for you to feel these deep feelings of love? And if they go, yeah, does that mean yes? No, you judge by what? Physiology, okay, and tonality. So then you say, you know how I feel when you feel totally loved? And they go, yeah, and you get them in state, and you go, in order for you to feel totally loved, is it absolutely what? Necessary for that person to tell you they love you in a certain way. And you go to the kinesthetic. Once you know which one it is, let's say it was auditory, then you'd say, how specifically? Or let's say it's kinesthetic, how would they touch you? Would they grab you tight? Would they touch you soft? Where would they touch you if they're gonna make you feel totally loved, okay? And then once you do that, then you test it outside the strategy, and then you test it inside the strategy, okay? So let's do one. Eliciting love strategies. Okay, first thing it says is, can you remember a time when you felt totally loved? So they go, yep. Are they in state?
No.
So then you say, can you remember a what?
Specific time.
And then they go, okay, yes. Then you say, as you go back to that time and experience it, in order for you to feel these deep feelings of love, is it, what are the key words?
Absolutely.
For the person to show you that they love you by taking you places, buying you things, or looking you a certain way. Is it absolutely necessary that they show you that they love you in this way for you to feel totally loved? And then judge by physiology. So they go, yep. And you might want to go, I don't know if that means yes, okay? Then you do it again. And by the way, you keep them in what, in between these?
State.
Just remember to put them in state before each question. Okay? So you say, remember that time when you felt totally loved? And they say, yeah. And you go, in order for you to feel these deep feelings of love, is it, what's the two words?
Absolutely
necessary for that person to tell you that they love you in a certain way. Judge by physiology. Then you go, and remember how it feels when you feel loved? They go, yeah. In order for you to feel these deep feelings of love, is it what? Absolutely necessary for that person to touch you in a certain way. So let's say they said it was a touch. So it says, now elicit the what? Submodality. So you go, how specifically would they touch you? Demonstrate it for me. Then test inside and outside the strategy, judge by congruent physiology, know whether you got it or not. Okay? So I need a lady volunteer, and we're going to elicit your love strategy. Okay, what's the first thing we got to do?
Get her in state.
What if I come up and I go,
hey, Angela, can you remember a time in your life when you felt totally loved? Because I got a sister. So who do I got to put in a state first? What state is love usually associated to? Kinesthetic. So I might want to put myself more in that state. So I might say, Angela, can you remember a time in your life when you felt totally loved? Can you remember a specific time? Mm-hmm. Can you go back to that time and experience it now? Remember how it felt? As you go back to that time and feel it, can you feel it now? Mm-hmm. In order for you to feel these deep feelings of love, is it absolutely necessary that a man show you he loves you by buying you things, taking you places, and looking at you a certain way? Is that absolutely necessary for you to feel those deep feelings of love? Mm-hmm. No. Remember how it feels when you feel totally loved? Yeah. As you feel those deep feelings now, in order for you to feel these deep feelings of love, is it absolutely necessary that a man tell you he loves you in a certain way for you to feel those deep feelings of love? No. Okay, take a wild guess which one it's going to be. Remember how you feel when you feel totally loved? As you feel those deep feelings of love, in order for you to feel those deep feelings of love, is it absolutely necessary that a man touch you in a certain way? Tough to figure it out, isn't it? So now we want to find out the specific what? Submodality. So do you trust me not to abuse this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Stand up. So what I want you to do is, yeah, good. Is show me, how would a man touch you if he's going to make you feel totally loved? Would he grab you real tight? Would he touch you like real soft? How would a man touch you if he's going to make you feel totally loved?
Grab me real tight.
Grab you tight. Show me. Right. Yeah, it is tight. Okay, so now I think I've calibrated what it is. So first I got to test outside the strategy, right? So now I got to try and duplicate it as best I can remember. So here we go. So I come here. Make you feel that way? Look at her face. Give her a hand. Thank you very much. Did you see her? After she's up here, she's like, didn't know where to go. So, submodality testing. Now, what if it was auditory? Then you'd have her demonstrate for you what would be said in the tone, and you've got to duplicate the tone. Tone's real delicate. You've got to make sure it's accurate. And if it was visual, be visual. And some people, it's literally to take them places. Now, I mean, it sounds weird to you and harsh, but for some people, that's what it is. To be taken or bought things for because they've rigged up in their mind, that's what triggers them to feel that way. That means somebody really cares because anybody could touch or tell. Everybody's got all these different belief systems that have been built in. It's incredible. I mean, you're able to, once you know what this is, you can put them totally in a state. If they got a certain touch, you can do this, and boom, they are there. A certain tone of voice, you can watch them. They just, like silly putty, go right into state. What would you say my strategy is if you were to guess? I thought for sure it'd be kinesthetic. I mean, I love to be touched, and I love to touch. But you know what? That's not enough. That's not the one that's absolutely necessary, even though I feel like it's absolutely necessary. Because, see, I get touched a lot. I get hugged, touched, just about everywhere all the time. And I love it, and for me to know somebody totally loves me, it's auditory. See? Because since I get touched so much, unless somebody says it, I don't want to guess, I don't want to hope that I'm right, I don't want to think that they really love me and they don't, right? So my brain's rigged up, there's a certain tone of voice, and if that person says, I love you, in a certain tone, I'm in state. But if they don't, then I'm not going to be totally in state. I'll enjoy it, I'll appreciate it, but I won't feel totally loved. Okay, so it's that tone of voice. So this brings up an interesting question. In the beginning of a relationship, when you're in that stage I call courting, for lack of a better word, okay, and you're in that courting stage, do you just tell them you love them? You're in this mobilized state, right? So you just tell them, is that what you do? Do you just show them? Do you just touch them? Yes or no? No way. You do it all. You show them. You take them places. You buy them things. You look at them a certain way. You tell them. You touch them everywhere. Right? But then what happens as time goes on? Well, as time goes on, you become comfortable in the relationship and you begin to know that they love you and that you love them. So what happens is, do you love them any less at this point? No, but do you still do it all? Very few people do. Now, how do you express your love to this person at this point? Probably, whose strategy do you think you're going to use? Whose convincing strategy for knowing that someone is feeling love? Whose strategy are you going to use in expressing your love? Your own. Because we all go around thinking, our model of the world is the way it is. So what happens in the beginning of a relationship is everything is great. I mean, you guys totally love each other, you feel loved by each other, everything's going fabulous. But then one day, all of a sudden, you pass threshold where you're comfortable, you don't do it all. So after a period of time, what happens is, let's say you've got a man here who's auditory in his love strategy and a woman who's visual in her love strategy. What's gonna eventually happen? How is he gonna express love to her? He's gonna tell her, so he's gonna say, I love you, honey. And one day, after enough time's gone by, what's she gonna say? Yeah, talk's cheap, show me. So what are you talking about? He'll say, what are you what? Talking about. She'll go, what am I talking about? Show me you love me, talk is cheap. You're always talking about you love me, talk is cheap. Do something, take me someplace, buy me something. Don't just tell me, look at me when you're talking to me. Give me that, look at me like you love me. But I love you. Yeah, big deal, look at the way you look at me, say it. What he says, I say it all the time, I tell you. She goes, I want you to say it with flowers. Flowers? He goes, you used to send me flowers. You know? He says, well, isn't it enough for you to just know that I'm sitting here telling you that I love you? She says, no! Does this sound familiar for any of you? What happens if you get a visual man with an auditory woman? What's he gonna do? Send her cards? Maybe buy her some things, take her places, probably looks at her a certain way at certain times. One day he'd probably be sitting there looking at her like he really loves her, and she's gonna go, you know what? I don't feel like you love me anymore. He's gonna go, what? What do you say? You look at me, I'm looking at you right now, just thinking about how much I love you. Well, yeah, well, you never say it. What do you mean I never say it? I say it with my looks, look at the way I'm looking at you. I love you. She's going, does that tonality make her feel loved? She's going, yeah, but you never tell me. He says, talk is cheap. Look at that rock on your finger. If that doesn't tell you I love you, I don't know what will. I take you every place. I buy you all kinds of stuff. I look at you all the time. Well, what do you think I am? A piece of meat? You're always looking at me. Can't you talk to me? What are you, stupid or something? This sounds familiar to any of you. How about this one? Auditory man, kinesthetic woman. This is Becky and my strategy. Right? Mine's auditory, hers is kinesthetic. I never would have guessed that. So what happens? Auditory man says, I love you. Kinesthetic woman does what? Wants to be touched. Right? Well, that's important to me too, but on the run when things are going and I'm not doing it all, auditory is where I just fall into normally because that's how I would know. So I remember one time I had an experience that triggered me into visual. I mean, I was living in visual for about 3 weeks. I was doing seminars like this the whole time for, you know, all 4 days, moving and talking like this and the whole thing. And I came back to have a business meeting with my staff, and I was in a business meeting, I was doing everything at once. You know, I was talking in a meeting, somebody's cutting my hair simultaneously, and they're going, don't move too much. I look over and I see Becky over on the other side of the desk, and she's sitting like this. I said, Beck, what's the matter? She went, nothing. I said, what do you mean, nothing? So what's going on? She said, nothing. I said, what do you mean nothing? She goes, well, I just don't feel very loved by you right now. I said, Beck, I love you. No response. So fortunately, I know her strategy. So what I did is I got up, walked over, and I touched her in a certain place. And instantly, she went directly into state. It was incredibly powerful. But see, I can only do that because I knew what the state was. I knew how to tap that strategy, how to trigger that emotion. So by knowing that, I could change it. Right? And her voice tone definitely put me in state. Her tone of voice normally put me in state. So that was my strategy. So the two are tapped in there, fortunately, on those sides, because we know what to do. So it doesn't matter if you have different strategies, you can't do it. It just means you got to know. Right? Now, here's my favorite relationship link up. Can you guess which one it is? Kinesthetic man with a visual woman. He comes home, and what does he want to do? Hi, honey. Come here. She goes, get away from me! You're always grabbing at me like that. Why don't you buy me something? Take me someplace. But I just want to hold you and hug. Hug, smug! Look at my face. What, are you just grabbing me? What do you think, I am a piece of flesh? Look at me first. So he goes, not like that, stupid. Oh, why do you want me to look at you? Look at me like you love me. I am. You're hopeless. but I love you. Come on, why don't we just stay home? She goes, stay home. I am so tired of staying home. We all have to stay home. I'm tired of drinking beer, watching TV, and hunkering down. Let's go someplace. Let's dress up. Look at you. This sound familiar to any of you? Now, I didn't go through every example, but out of these examples alone, how many of you can now see why you became divorced or why you broke up with someone? I mean, this is critical. Because if you don't know, you're going to have some problems. The relationship won't last. If you don't know, what's going to happen is gradually, as time goes on, people drift apart. That's why less than 50% of marriages last. One of the reasons. So just get clear that no matter where it is, you can enter their world. I remember a couple came to me who was exactly this problem for private therapy. They flew in from Atlanta, and I was in Dallas. So they come in from this private therapy. All they said on the phone is, we have problems with our relationship. We know you're the best. We want to come. So I said, okay, fine. So they flew in. And when they walked in the door, I knew immediately what the problem was. He walks in like this. He's dressed like this. His hair's all messed up, right? She is like, every single, you know, thing is exactly in place, you know. Everything is just like absolutely perfect. She sits down very smoothly and directly and strongly, right? He sits down. I say, I understand you're having some relationship problems. Can't imagine what causes them. So I say, what's the challenge? Well, the woman says, well, she goes, I'm just not attracted to him at all. He's going, oh. I say, at all? She goes, no, not at all. I say, well, what's the problem from your viewpoint? He goes, well, we haven't been to dinner for 14 years. I said, well, great, we'll take out to dinner tonight together. Let's get that done. He goes, no, I mean, you know, dinner. I said, what do you mean dinner? Where? He goes, at home. I said, oh, you mean dinner. He said, yes, dinner, 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 dinner. I said, oh, got it. So I said, what's the problem? He said, well, she just never touches me anymore. I said, what's the matter? She goes, well, I'm just not attracted to him. Look at him. He's a slob. I said, well, great. I mean, you know, I understand why you'd never be attracted. I said, how long ago was it that you were attracted to him? She goes, well, there was one time about 4.5 years ago. I said, oh, great, we're moving up. Tell me about that time, because I want to find out what the submodalities were that caused her to be attracted to him. So she said, well, he's an airline pilot. I said, what airline? I could just imagine him going, oh, here comes another plane. He's an airline pilot, and I went with him on this trip, and he was like totally in charge of making things happen. And the way she was moving and describing him, I realized that when he flies an airplane, he goes into what state? Visual. I thought, thank God. So he was in real visual. And she said he was just totally in charge. He was making things happen. He was moving fast. And she said, and he was dressed incredibly, you know, just absolutely impeccable. I said, what do you mean by impeccable? She said, well, he had this uniform on, and everything was in place. Ah. So I said, so what happened? She goes, well, I wanted to have dinner with him. I said, so what happened? She said, well, you know, we got off the flight, and we drove home, and I was getting ready for dinner with him, and he went outside for a few minutes to mess with his garden. And she said, he got all sweaty and dirty, and he came in, and then he wanted to make love with me. She says, ew, it's so disgusting. I mean, sweat and dirt. Ugh. I said, so did you make love? She goes, are you kidding? I said, oh, okay, I got it. I said, well, how did you meet? So how did this two ever get together, right? She goes, well, I met him when he was a cadet. Oh, cadets. Do cadets walk like this? Hi, honey. What state are cadets in? Visual. And what do cadets wear? How's that for some submodality triggers? Yeah, impeccable uniforms. So she was attracted, so I knew what to do. First, I explained to her how important it was that she touch him. Because it's important to her, but not as important as it is to a kinesthetic person. You're not to the same intensity. So I explained to her what she's got to do and everything else. And I said, if you're willing to do that, I know he'd be willing to do some things where he's looking sharper and he's moving faster. So I explained to him about visual and the differences, and I got them practicing and everything else. And then my final advice to him was this. I said, do you want to go home and have dinner with your wife? He said, yes. I said, you want her to absolutely want you? He said, well, yeah, that'd be really great. I said, great. Then first of all, sit up. And I said, when you go home, what I want you to do is go home, and I want you to put on half your uniform. He put this big grin on his face, boy, and she grinned like crazy, and they left. And so I knew it was going to work, and it's always nice to see it, you know, to see the results. So that night, we went down for dinner. And we go down for dinner, and guess who's sitting there in the restaurant? Ernie and Mary, this couple, right? And here's Ernie standing, sitting straight up in his chair, right? Real strong, right? He's wearing a suit. Everything's in place. Every hair is exactly where it needs to be, right? And there's Mary on his arm going, relationship works because they know how to match each other's strategies now. Remember, people have strategies for everything. If someone gets up in the morning totally awake and alive, he has a strategy to do just that. Though he probably doesn't know how he does it, he does have a strategy. If you put him back in state and you ask him, he'll be able to tell you what he says or feels or sees that gets him going in the morning. Remember, the way to elicit a strategy is to put the cook in the kitchen. That is, get him to go into the state you want, and then while he's there, find out what he did to create and maintain that state. You might ask a person who wakes up early in the morning to remember a specific morning when he woke up quickly and easily. Ask him to recall the very first thing he became conscious of. He may say he heard an internal voice that said, "It's time to get up, let's go." Then ask him to remember the very next thing that caused him to wake up quickly. Did he picture something or feel something? He may say, "I pictured myself jumping out of bed and getting into the warm shower. And I shook my body and then I got out." Seems like a simple strategy, doesn't it? He says something to himself, he makes a picture in his mind, and creates a feeling. Next, you'd want to find out the specific kinds and amounts of the ingredients in this strategy. So you'd ask, what was it about the quality of the voice that got you up? His probable answer will be, the voice was loud and it was talking very fast. I know this because I've modeled people who wake up early in the morning. Now ask, what was the scene like that you pictured? He may answer, well, it was bright and it was moving very fast. Now you can try the strategy for yourself. I've tried it and it works. I think you'll discover, as I did, that by speeding up your words and pictures and increasing the volume and brightness, you can wake up in an instant. Conversely, if you're having a hard time going to sleep, just slow down your internal dialogue. Create yawning, sleepy tones, and you'll feel yourself becoming very tired almost immediately. Try it now. Talk very slowly, like a very tired person. And a yawning voice inside of your head, talk about how tired you are. Now speed it up. Feel the difference. The point is, you can model any strategy as long as you put someone in state and find out specifically what he does and in what order and sequence he does it. The key isn't merely to learn a few strategies and use them, but rather, it's more important to constantly stay attuned to what people do well. Find out what they do and how they do it, and add their choices to your life. You can learn how to produce results quicker by learning through other people's experiences and save yourself the most important commodity of life, time. There is a strategy that can cause you to tap into the most powerful resource available to you as a human being, other human beings' experiences. And the way to do that is to learn how to develop the skill we talked about earlier called bonding power or rapport. Let's find out what it takes to produce instant rapport with anyone we meet.